Happy to be out this morning. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, one more opportunity, Lord, to come into Thy temple. Lord, as we raise out of bed this morning, Lord, it's so wonderful, Lord, to be Your child. Lord, the peace, Lord, that comes with it. Lord, we just appreciate You. We love You for all You've done for us, Lord. And we gather here this day, Lord, to praise Your wonderful name, Lord, and to hear Thy word. Lord, we just ask that You give us revelation this day. Open our eyes, open our ears, Lord, to hear what You have for us this day. Bless this service. Bless each and every one that made it this morning, Lord. Just have Your way. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our capstone books, page 29. Amen. When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Break my bed, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand. Take my hand. my guide, be my friend. Amen. Give me the Lord, strength, Lord, to overcome. Is that your desire this morning? Amen. Each and every day. 204, and I only believe. What a day that will be. Amen. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. For me. Hallelujah. You imagine? It's going to be a wonderful day. Amen. Brother Ames, you take up the offering this morning. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for this day you've given to us, Lord, for the health and strength, Lord, to gather around your precious word, Lord. We are so thankful. Thankful for your mercy and your grace in our lives, Lord. We love and appreciate you. Thank you for all you've done for us. Yes. Lord, we just ask you'll have your preeminence the remainder of this service. Lord, may our hearts and minds be open to receive the portion you have for us this day. And Lord, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Let it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. A little chorus. Let the Lord have his way. Let the Lord have his way in your heart every day. There's no ease, there's no rest until the Lord has his way.
Put your mind
in his hand. This morning by praising her hand. Amen. Brother Pitts, would you take the request this morning?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, thanking you for the redemption you've given us. And asking you, if you would, Lord, to remember those that have questions on their heart.
Yes.
They have uplifted hands, and they have a request, Lord, that they would like to bring to you. So by the things that you've given us in life, direction, Lord, in this message.
Yes.
We truly ask you, if you would, this morning, Lord, to answer each request, because we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated if you'd like. Anyone have a song in their heart this morning? A little special? Anyone at all? Ask the sisters to come, if they would.
The doors of time are closing. We see the shadows of evening falling, and the Spirit of the Lord is gently calling,
gently calling.
Come, my love, draw close to me. Give me your all, I gave mine to thee. Lay aside all your cares of life and just love me. I've never felt such a yearning, such a sweet, sweet love. Show him how much he means to me. Live for him every minute of my life and love him all the time. Is our own will finally breaking as we feel the old earth shaking, telling us by the signs it's almost over,
all but over.
Any second he can appear. Are we ready or do we doubt and fear? It's time to lay all else aside and just love him. I've never felt such a yearning, such a sweet, sweet love burning,
drawing,
holding, compelling me. I just want to lay down everything, show him how much he means to me. Live for him every minute of my life and love him all the time.
Man, let's all stand. Sing that little chorus, Only Believe, as we ask our pastor to come. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
Heads bowed. Precious Heavenly Father, we truly are so thankful again that you've given another day to us, Lord. Another day, Lord, that we can serve you. Another day, Lord, that we could come in this little tabernacle, Lord, and have you speak to our hearts through the Word of God. And knowing, Lord, it isn't anything that I can say, Lord, in myself. It's only your word that's inspired. And Lord, how we ought to be so appreciative of that word. The word is spirit and it is life. And Lord, we need your word. In this dark age and time which we live in. For Lord, we see a great purpose, Lord. A great calling has went forth. For a special people. And Lord, help us to recognize, Lord, that great calling. The great very reason that why we're on this earth. It's your grace and mercy, Lord. And there's a great work that you will do through those whom you predestinated. A work, Lord, not just any man could do. Not just any man can have the life of Christ. Lord, only those you predestinated. We ask now that you would bless us today with the word that would encourage us and strengthen us, Lord, and help us further recognize our position in thee, O God. Just take complete control now as we want to yield unto you completely. And may each one in the house, Lord, yield completely to you also. That, Father, we could listen to your word and open our heart to it. We ask in your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise. Jesus' wonderful name. It's a great privilege to serve the Lord in this day and to have the message of the hour. It's just so wonderful. Let us turn our Bibles to very familiar scripture this morning. Now, it may seem this morning that I'll be kind of skipping around a few places, but there's a reason for it. So, like I say, just bear with me. But Acts, let's read first Acts, the second chapter, and read that very familiar scripture, Acts 2, and we'll begin 37th verse, Acts 2, 37. Then after reading the scripture, and you'd be seated, if one of your brothers don't mind, come up, put the blackboard up and maybe bring something that'll clean that off. I don't know, it's been on there for a while, so might have to clean it up a little bit. All right, so we find here, let's read here, Acts 2, 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Do you realize how precious that is to have that call in your heart? Oh, I'll tell you, it's just tremendous to even think about it, to think of this great call that God has placed in our hearts to come and to serve him and give our life to him. And we realize as he was talking about repent, you know, it's the first thing he said to do, repent. You know, and if we turn over to 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn with me there, 2 Corinthians, I believe it's the 7th chapter. Let's see here. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 7th chapter, and we'll read the 10th verse, just part of it. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. You know, and the prophet spoke of that before, different times, how, you know, people just don't come to God in a godly sorrow repentance. You know, they hear the preacher get up and talk about repenting and being baptized and going to the water and so forth, and but did they come with true godly sorrow? So sorry for what you've done. Feel so bad the past things in your life that you did. And not just come before God, okay, I want to get baptized, you know, I'm this and I'm that, and I want to do this because the Bible said do it. No, friend. Those that truly come to Christ in the right way and truly receive the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit has come with a true godly sorrow. I mean, you're so sorry for what you've done. You just feel like a trash bag, you know, most of the point you just, why did I do these things? You know, I'm so sorry, Lord, I've done this. And all the filth that was in my life, you know, you're just, it's truly a godly sorrow. It's godly sorrow, the sorrow that leadeth men to repentance, you see. So we find that in thinking about that this morning, in those two scriptures that I read with this morning so far, as I said, now when I go into this, it may seem a little chopped up, but I think by the time you get to the end, which I'll never get to this morning, unless you won't be here 3 or 4 hours, but I think time we get to the end, you'll see why I read those things and why I'm going to read what I'm going to read now next in Luke, the 15th chapter. Let's read there. Luke 15, and let's begin here at the first verse. Amen. And I want, you know, it's kind of one of them times we'll make sure everybody listens, you know. Don't leave yourself out. You know, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how what experiences you've had and everything, but don't leave yourself out. Just say, Lord, speak to me through your word, you know, and just open my heart to it. Maybe there's a little something that might help you along the way, you see. So let's read this, Luke 15 chapter, and begin here at the first verse. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And as I've said before, not too long ago, you know, it's hard to believe, but we've got people in this message that feel the same way. There's churches in this message that feel the same way. You know, it's a shame. How are they ever going to get that last one in? They'll never be a part of that work, you see. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, now listen to our Lord Jesus. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 into the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. Oh, I think about the footprints in the sand of time, you know. Footprints in the sand. Rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Now, our Lord Jesus is saying this, you know. So he must be... have some quite a bit of excitement when one comes back to him. And notice how I said that, when one comes back to him. Okay? And think of it this way. You know, if we'll just say, okay, if I got my keys in my pocket, and I'll just, maybe I'm going through the woods and I lose them. Maybe I kind of have my hands in my pocket and not paying attention to what I'm doing, and I lose my keys. And I lost my keys out in the woods, all these leaves and sticks and everything around. And now the thing of it is, them keys had to be mine originally for me to lose them. It wouldn't be, I lost Henry's keys. It was my keys. I lost my keys. But it was my keys to start with. Okay? So just keep it in mind. He says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Now it's a true repentance, you see. More than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either that woman having 10, he says here, and he goes on about it, he says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Did you ever misplace something and you really know you needed it or you just had to have it to use or whatever and you're just hunting all over the place? Now, what do I do with this? You know, and you're trying to think, did I leave it over here? And you're thinking, no, did it, was it here I used it? Or and you just might hunt for an hour or two trying to find something. Maybe you's all better than me, but I've done that before, you know. And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me. Now notice how the Lord is trying to put this in a way that when something is lost and it is found, there's a rejoicing. Isn't there not? Okay. For I have found the peace which I have lost. Think of that. And he says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Okay? Again, now, I remind you, I want everyone in the house to listen to me. And I want all you young people to listen to me. Okay? Every one of you. Okay? And he said, a certain man had two sons. I don't know the little story about the prodigal son, but let's go ahead and read it. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Now, notice these little types. Now, sometimes there's things in our life that happens, and it causes us to really want God. It causes us to really want to search for something greater. And sitting here, maybe even being seasoned Christians, sometimes things happen in our life that lets us see we were short somewhere. And it stirs something inside of us. I need to press on. You know, there's something wrong in my life. It just ain't going the way God wants it to be, you know. All right? And he began to want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Tried a lot of different things, you know, to try to get it satisfied. And he sent him to his fields to feed swine. And he would fain had filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I don't care what's out there in the world, friends. There ain't nothing out there going to satisfy that real hunger and thirst on the inside. Just ain't nothing going to do it. No. There's only one thing that will satisfy that thirst that God put inside of your heart, and that's Jesus Christ. And sometimes we get off track. Sometimes as we're born in this life, being born in sin, shape, and iniquity, we start off on the wrong track to start with, you know. And it just seems like things just don't get it, you know. But yet there's something down inside, as he says here. And when he came to himself, oh, thank God for the time we came to ourselves, and began to really think about what's going on in my life. That something has got to change. Something has got to be different. Because what I've got just ain't going to get it, you know. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have been enough to spare, bread enough to spare? So now he's thinking about, you know, if he was where he needed to be, I think, my, I'd have plenty to eat. You know? I just think, my, what am I doing here? You know, I'm thinking about this, and why have I came this direction? Why? You know? He says, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. I shall seek. I shall knock. Yeah. And the door shall be open. And will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. This young man was sorry for what he did. Really sorry. Because he seen that what he was going through now, he'd never make it. No. Everything was against him. It just was not possible. He needed to get back where he came from. That's what I said. He needed to get back where he came from. Okay? And he says, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He came in humility. You ever see people come to try to come to the Lord and try to be Christians, and but they already know everything. And they don't need anything, but all of a sudden they want to become Christians. And you young people can sit here today and you can think, I've got everything. I was born under my mom and dad's roof and we've been in the Word. And, you know, it's where the Word of God is in my house. And I got Christian parents and I got it whipped. No, that don't mean you got it whipped. By no means. It's just more you're going to give an account of. Now remember, the prophet spoke of the age of accountability. Age of accountability is when you begin to understand and know what's going on. So you sitting here know where you're at in that state. Okay. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one as thy hired servants. Just let me be a rug on the floor, Lord, if need be. I'm not worthy to be anything else. You didn't see no attitude here that Jesus expressed that we come to God in a great boastful way. That God owes me something. No. We come to God through mercy and grace. And humility. Knowing that without Him, you ain't going to be nothing and have nothing. And you'll be nothing. And you'll be lost without Him. But lost is a thing anymore. People just kind of think, oh, you know, I can whip this and whip that. You know, they got people so brainwashed by the nonsense they've got out in the world. You know, they got, and that's why there's so much shootings and stuff. People see it on TV and games and all this stuff, and they think, oh, they can shoot them, they'll pop back up, you know. Or I can be lost and pop back up, they think. I can be lost and still go to heaven. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. And what you do right now, today, it's going to show where you're at. I said today, not next week. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Yeah. But everybody wants to put off to tomorrow. As many things God requires of us in this life, we, you know, He may give us a word to press on and to overcome something. I mean, we think we got next week, and we got the week after that, and we got the month after that. Do you think that person really is ever going to make it in? I've got news for you, friend. As the prophet said, what you are today is what you'll be there. If you are a doubter of God's word now, you'd be a doubter of His word then. Yes. Yeah. If you're a liar here, you'll be a liar there. He said, don't worry, you won't be there. We always got this idea and this theory, I'll change someday. What's wrong with today? Today. Because tomorrow may be too late. You may wake up tomorrow and you won't even think about God. Yeah. You won't even care if He even exists. But oh, well, there's something calling on the inside. You better run like you've never run before. You see? You better open your heart and give it all to Jesus. You see? Let's go on. He says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off. Now listen. He's showing us here how interested God is in us. His father saw him and had compassion. After all that riotous living, wasting all that he gave him. Yes. He still had compassion. And so many times we still doubt the love of God. Doubt the love of God. Amen. Oh my. And had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Oh my. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. I help bring to you today the best robe. You listening? I come today to help bring to you the best robe. And to put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. He was out working, doing work. Yeah. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Amen. Even though his elder son got angry because of what he's seen being done. So friends, don't get upset when God deals with somebody that's a child of God. And maybe you don't get the way you want it. You may not get your message today the way you want it. But I'm going to tell you, friend, don't get angry. Don't get upset. And he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." See? "But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots." Nasty. Nasty life. "Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Such great importance to that couple parables, if we can understand. As many things that is in the scriptures that oftentimes maybe has been read to us in our childhood, maybe we read in Sunday school, maybe we listen in our seats to a preacher preach to us. But unless the Holy Spirit makes every word alive as it should be alive, it won't mean nothing to us. But always remember this, the Word of God, this Bible right here, is God's holy Word. Do you understand that? It's His holy Word, and the Word is fully inspired, not partially. But it is fully inspired. And this precious holy word is completely infallible. And there is absolutely no error in it. None. Until you really see that, you're going to make excuses. Somewhere in that Bible, you think it won't mean what it says. But this Bible is just what God's Word says it is. It's holy. It's divine. It is without error. It is completely infallible. There is no error in it. You see? And sometimes we can't put our trust in this Word. And sometimes we look through this word and we think, you know, I just can't see how that could be. And I may remind you today of some things that maybe some of you will sit there and say, I just don't see how it could be. But it is. And does it seem like it would be something impossible? God always works in the impossible ways. Yes. He makes the impossible look possible to them that believe. See? I want to read a little something out of an article here. It's beyond today in a little article, this little magazine that I get. And it talks about different things, God's miraculous ways and things. And it was something simple here, and this one little thing is about the egg, the chicken egg. And I was actually going to bring one today, but I was afraid I'd break it, so I didn't bring it. But anyhow, just think about an egg. You know, you crack it open in a skillet, and we eat eggs, you know. About all of us probably do. Most of us probably do. But listen to what he says here. This professor says, speaking of the chicken and egg question, another great example of the foresight in nature is the humble chicken egg, the shell. You ever think much about the eggshell? It's just something you crack open and dump out the egg and you fry your egg. You ever think about the eggshell? There are so many problems to solve in the first place if the developing chick is to survive the 3-week incubation period inside the egg. Like some of you young fellows here or children here have put eggs in incubators like I used to. And you got a fancy incubator. I made mine out of a styrofoam cooler. Took a little more work to it. But it says here, one major challenge posed by such development, now think about it, is how to breathe within the egg. And anybody that's watched eggs hatch, you know, you can have an egg sitting right there on just a flat surface. And that little egg, when they're starting to get ready to hatch, they're moving around. Moving around. Yeah. And you keep watching, all of a sudden you'll see a little peck come through the shell. And that little chick inside just keeps working fine. And you look at it and you think, you're going to wear yourself out, little fellow, before you get out of there. But he won't. But does he breathe? Yes, they proved that he breathes. But how? Before the shell is even cracked, how do they breathe? In an eggshell. It says, if the egg was perfectly sealed, the chick would quickly suffocate. Yet if the eggshell was porous, its contents could seep out. The answer is in semi-porous eggshell, where oxygen can come in without letting the valuable contents inside leak out. The shell has 7,000 pores of ideal size, and location to allow oxygen to enter and carbon dioxide to exit. Tell me God don't work in such greatness. If the pores were larger or smaller or wrongly spaced, the effectiveness of the whole system deteriorates and the chick dies. You know, I think, boy, you ever think a simple egg go through that? Great creation? And the great creator putting it together? My. He said, this delicate problem of providing oxygen and eliminating carbon dioxide while maintaining the integrity of the eggshell had to be solved before the first chick developed. And any kind of bird, not just chickens, it took foresight and planning to come up with thousands of the right size pores at their precise positioning at the time needed to do their job. The simple egg. Now, why would it be so hard for God to do what I'm going to talk about today? When he can do that to a simple egg, to make sure everything works just right. Yeah. Just right. Do you know everything he done for us is going to work just right too? God don't do anything just haphazardly. He doesn't do things in a way that, well, I'll try this and it may not work. Like man oftentimes does. No. When God does something, it works. And it will keep working. And when you find out you're a part of this great working, my, what a blessing it is. My. Before I go too much further, let me just put one little thing up there to start with. We're just going to have up here, we'll just draw a familiar circle. And this is going to be the thoughts of God. And as I've said before, make sure you pick out one of these because one of these is yours. I'll tell you what, I'll just go right here. That's me. By God's grace. Okay. And you'll have to put your name on one of the other ones. Okay. I don't know how many there is because I don't know how many predestinated there is. He just said there'd be few. Ain't that right? Many are called, but few are chosen. We're just, That's the little circles represent the thoughts of God. We'll go on a little bit later. If you want to turn now to St. John, first chapter. St. John, first chapter, and we begin at the first verse. Read another very familiar scripture. Amen. I hope it don't seem like I'm jumping around too much, but I hope you can catch what we're trying to show you here. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's why that chicken egg turns out just right. Yeah, because He knew what He was doing. Oh, He did. And that's just something as simple as the chicken egg. Now, just think of even our bodies, how they're made up. My. Of all the veins, the arteries, and all the how the pump or the heart works, pumping blood, and the lungs work, and the kidneys and appendix, and all these different things. You think, how did He do it? Because He's God. It goes beyond man's reasoning. And the light shineth, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, talking about John, but was sent to bear witness of that light, our Lord Jesus. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own. Now listen to that. He came unto his own. And his own received him not. Think of that. Even the Jews turned him down. You see? And yet he was the Messiah that was to come. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Think of that. The prophet will get into it in a little bit here. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let's go back to Genesis. Might seem like we're jumping around a little bit, but just get a little idea here of Abraham. I tell you what, before I do, let's skip that scripture for a minute. Let me go to this. And then it'll be better probably to go this other direction with it. This is in God is His own interpreter. All right, February 5th, 1964. Now, he says here, all we are today is displaying His attributes. Now, listen what he's going to begin to say about this circle with these dots in here. I'll just let him say it. Because God's way of doing it is perfect. And it doesn't get messed up at all. No. First, he was not even God. He says, we would just call him Eternal One. He wasn't God because the word, English word, God means object of worship. All right? And there was nothing to worship him. So he was Eternal One, the main fountain of all intelligence. And in this fountain of all intelligence, there was not an atom, a molecule, or nothing. Light nowhere. Star, moon, nothing else. And we read that in Genesis, okay? He created all those things, okay? on this day and this day and next day. He says, what we know is God, the great Spirit that was eternal, never did begin. Never did begin. Never. I want you to keep that in mind now. Like I said, you've got to try to keep this all together. I'm trying to cut some of it out to try to keep it together and yet get to a certain point at least before we had to close this morning. He said, never did begin and never did end. God never did begin and he'll never end. Okay? He was there and in him was attributes. Now think of that. In him was attributes. He had these thoughts. Okay. In it was the attribute to be God, which is an object of worship, right? Worship, right? Okay. Then his attributes was to be a father. Okay. Attributes to be a son. Attributes to be a savior. He wanted to be that great redeemer. This was all in his thoughts. Now, I'll get to it later, but remember, too, we know that the thoughts of God are eternal. And I kind of like the way the prophet said it, because he said, the thoughts of God are eternal, are they not? He said, they are real. Yes. He said, if you can believe this, you will see many things. In other words, you'll understand many things. Okay? And then you begin to understand these things, and you can see why there is real Christians, why there is fake Christians, why there is Christians that still love the things of the world and call themselves Christians, why there is complete unbelievers, why there is impersonators, why there's people that's so wicked and evil. That's all they dwell on. It's wickedness of this day. But if you just listen and pay attention, you might find a little something that'll help you along the way. It was his attributes to be a healer. Yeah. Don't you think God knew all about this in his mind before the world was ever formed? We know he existed before the earth was ever formed. The scripture tells us that. You see? All right? And all these attributes was in him. They never did begin. All these attributes was in him. Now, I just said a little bit ago, I mentioned about pick out one of them dots. Because one of them dots, if you are predestinated, you was there in his thoughts. You never did begin. Let's go on. He says, it was in him to be an attribute to be a healer. All these attributes was in him, and these things that has unfolded since then are just his attributes being made manifest. Now, we'll just take and get down there. Now, we know that, okay, let's just, you can pick out one of these dots. I was one of these dots. I'll use me. Nobody get upset with me. Okay, I was born. In this flesh. You have to put you in there. You was born. But remember where we started from. There was no start. It was eternal. Eternal as God is himself. Is it hard to swallow? It might be for some. But let the word of God show you. He said, what I mean, attributes, was his thoughts. And the word is a thought expressed. Okay? And then that was in his thinking. And when he said, let there be, and there was, let there be, and there was, he said, let there be the sun, and it was, let there be moon, and it was, let there be water, and there was, let there be trees, and there was, let there be giraffes, and there was, you see? And now remember, you Christians, because times as I go know you was there when you were in Christ. When you were filled with the Holy Spirit, now you know you're a Christian. And you know you walk pleasing in sight. You're able to understand the word for your day. And it vindicates itself. You Christians! Until you come to that point, you can hear these things and only relate to it and trust God and try to believe it. But until you really are filled with His Holy Spirit, to where you really know you're a Christian, now you can place yourself there and know for sure. You don't have to hope. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to try to be. You know that you are. Okay? You Christians were His thoughts before there was a world. Oh my. And you are the manifestation of His thinking. Now we feel being filled with the Holy Spirit and His life coming through this tabernacle of flesh. Now it's manifesting that He was in His thoughts. Okay? Before there was even a world, you were in Christ. In God. Yes. That makes you then, you see His subjects. And the whole thing is God Himself materializing Himself, tangible, so He could be handled, seen, and so forth. That's what God is, the whole thing. Why do you think He's got His wife here today? To express Him. To express His attributes. That there'll be the people there that express He is a healer. They receive healing. Express He is a Savior. Because they saved, to get saved. That He's Redeemer. Let's talk about that Redeemer. Think about the pawn shop, Brother Branham. Remember Brother Branham talking about the pawn shop? We'll just take, for instance, maybe I can find something a little bit smaller. We'll just take this bottle of sanitizer. Okay, if I take this to the pawn shop in Logan, which it wouldn't have no value to it, but if I take something there, it's got some value to it. And I give it to the broker. I say, okay, now here's this, and it's worth $100. He'll give me the money for it. I walk out, and I no longer have that. It's in the pawn shop. If a debt don't get paid, that broker can sell that to somebody else. But what if I go back and buy it back, give him the money back for it, the purchase price for it, back? Well, if I give it to him, then it comes back to me. I can put it right in my pocket. But it was mine to start with. It came from me. I'm the one took it and let it go that route. Yeah. And one thing about it, friends, the blood of Jesus Christ will bring you out of that pawn shop. But you always was His. Yeah. When we were born in sin, shaping iniquity, coming to this world, speaking lies, cheating, all these different things, with that worldly nature, Satan trapped us into that pawn shop. Okay? But just remember where you came from. Though we were born in this life, now remember, we're just a manifestation of what His thoughts was. Okay? So, just keep that in mind now. Because every one of us is born in this life, that's how you're here. You was born from your mother's womb. Is that right? Amen. Ain't nobody here sitting that ain't been born from your mother's womb. You was born from your mother's womb. But that's just when life began in this flesh. Yeah. But the main important thing to understand as we go into this, where you was, and that you are eternal as God is Himself. And the prophet even mentioned you came from the same source he came from. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Now think of that. And as I said, we'll begin to see the picture of why there's fake Christians. Why there's people that call themselves Christians and don't overcome. They might be able to go a long ways under sanctification, come a long ways, but they just can't seem to come to the truth. Yeah. They just can't seem to really fully accept all the Word. They only accept as far as what they can come up with in their mind and think that and reason it out and think, yeah, that's possible. Yeah, okay, so I'll accept that. That's possible, so I'll accept that one. This is possible, I'll accept that one. But you never see them go all the way. You might see them look like they're so nice. You might see them dress so nice and so modest to women. And man, cut their hair like they should and all this, that, and the other. And everything looked just so right. But there's just something about it. It just doesn't catch at all. They want to watch television. And they want to watch murders going on, and they want to watch Love Susie, George Love Susie, and all this stuff, and football games, and all this stuff, desiring the things of the world. And the carnal mind is enmity against God. So they want to continue on with those things. There's people, I know people that call themselves Christians and even dress good and everything, and still smoke and everything else, destroying their temple. God plainly said not to do. But does that mean they're really real? Then you got your Baptists to say, well, as long as I take communion every Sunday, or your Catholics, I'm fine. As long as I go to the priest in his little booth and throw him a few bucks, I'm fine. Wrong. But you're going to find out why there is genuine Christians. And hopefully everyone sitting here today can find themselves genuine Christian, Christ-like. Because by this is the only way you'll be genuine Christ-like. Amen. There is no other way than to come that channel that God's seen in his mind before there's a moon or a star. See? He says here, let's go on. Just once more, Lord. Let's read here. He says, you're not saved tonight. You're not saved this morning. You've been saved. You were saved 1,900 years ago. Now it's 2,000 years ago. And now maybe tonight you'll accept that salvation. Hopefully today you will. Because you may not live till tomorrow. But it's already paid for. Don't you think when you was here, God didn't know you'd already be redeemed? But there was a channel we had to go through. Don't you think he'd know where you were sitting at today? He knew here where you'd be sitting today. He's that great. If you knew how to do the simple egg, something simple as that, make sure it was the exact amount of pores and the right size pores and all that, don't you think he would know why we'd be here today? Yeah. Don't you think he knows, as you sit here today, what you're thinking of? He proved that he did when he walked even the shores of Galilee and all his life that he walked. He'd go up to somebody and know exactly what they was thinking. He knew old Zacchaeus as he was hiding up in the tree. He thought he was hidden and God didn't know nothing about what he was thinking. But he knew exactly what Zacchaeus was thinking. Yeah. He knows what everybody's thinking today as you sit here and listen to me read these things. Yeah. He knows you may be sitting here trying to think what your outcome is going to be. He knows you're sitting here today and maybe thinking, you know, there is a much deeper place in God. I really need this. You might be sitting here today and thinking, you might be young people sitting there thinking, and I need this new birth. Yeah. I may not be alive tomorrow. You may not. You see. Today is the day. Not tomorrow. You can keep putting it off if you want to. But today is the day. He says, and now maybe tonight you'll accept that salvation, but it's already paid for. The debt has been cleared up. And the devil that put you in the pawn shop, Jesus came and redeemed you and opened up the doors. Oh my. And the only thing you have to do is walk out and claim your liberty. That's all. You have it. He says, you have a receipt from God that the debt is paid. Jesus said in his last words, it is finished. Oh my. Every redemptive blessing was completely finished. God's great wrath on sin, when he became sin for us, it was the debt that was settled. It was settled, friends, on the cross of everything you've ever done wrong, if you'll come his way. It can be finished and done. And you don't have to go back and dig it up. No. Not to go back thinking about the things in the past you've done and let it bother you. It's done. It's finished. If you come God's provided way. You see? Satan has no more power, only as he can bluff with. If he can bluff you into it, all right, he says, you'll have to have it. But legally, he has no power at all. Every power he had was taken from him at Calvary. Glory. That's where the price was paid. He said he's nothing but a bluff. If you want to listen to this bluff, well, all right. But you don't have to. You are free tonight. He has made you free. But again, just be able to believe and accept and know that you are called for that. And now if, he says, now if something in the Word can make you realize that you are free by his grace or something, and realize, and the Word makes you understand, or some act of his grace or something, he says, it includes all of us. Then you just accept it on those bases and you're free. You don't have to feel anything different. He said, you don't have to feel anything that's not, he said, no. He said, Jesus never did say, did you feel it? He said, did you believe it? It's faith. That's our faith, is an arm, mighty arm, that holds the sharp two-edged sword of God, and that sharp two-edged sword will cut every promise free. If that arm of faith is able to yield that sword, some people have very weak muscle trouble, and they can just maybe cut off a little scratch. He said, enough to join a church. Others can come into justification. Some can go all the way to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a great strong arm holding onto this Bible, and can cut every promise free. That's right. So be strong in the Lord. You see? Now, let me add this to it. He also said, how can you receive Christ and not know it? Your desires changed, friend. Completely changed. Yeah. I remember. Yeah. I've explained it before. Before I received a new birth, I had a real problem of not listening to country music. And I knew it was wrong. Something inside of me would tell me, it's wrong. It's wrong. And I would talk about Susie going out with John and leaving her husband, this, that, and the other, leaving the children, this, that, and that's all it is. But the wang to the music, everything just, you know, just so desirous at that time. But once God got done, I hated it. I hated it. That's the way it is with anything. It's contrary to God's word. Once God gets done with you, you hate it. You don't have to worry about going back to it. Why would you want something you hate? It just ain't even normal common sense to want something you hate. Yeah. Why would I have trouble worrying about drinking a bottle of booze when I hate it? No. There'd be a big fight trying to force it down me. There'd be a big fight to force a cigarette in my mouth. There'd be a big fight to do a lot of the things people call themselves Christians are doing. Yeah. Because you hate it. You hate the works of the flesh. You see? The desire is totally different when he does his work in your heart. So many people today want to call themselves Christians, and they still have the desire for sin. They still have the desire to do these things and call themselves Christians. Friends, that's not a Christian. You ever have people tell you they're Christians, and they'll talk about it. I have such a battle trying to stay away from this. I have such a battle keep from doing this. I have such a battle. Every time I walk by this, I want to do it. Then you ain't a Christian yet. No. When he gets done with you, friends, it's gone. All gone. And then it comes back to where the prophet was talking about in his Melchizedek. When the Bible says, don't do this, the body quickly turns to it. Yes. Quickly. It's gone. Well, brother, I'm going to tell you, I don't think God's that great that he could do that to you. You mean to tell me that God that created the heavens and the earth and all the living things therein, and he ain't big enough to change your desire? You don't have him. He's big enough to change your desire. He's big enough to have and stir in your heart, even want to come through that door every time the door is open. He's big enough to do that. He's gone! Because he said, forsake not the assembling yourself even more so as you see the day approaching. He's great enough. Oh, he's huge enough to do all these things. But people don't think he is. And still won't call themselves Christians. Yeah, they think they can still go out here and nibble dabble in the things of the world and call themselves Christians. Like I said, I'm not even getting close to it yet, but you're going to find out, friends, what a real Christian is. Yes. You're going to find out who the real overcomer is. You're going to find out the man or woman, young person that really loves Jesus Christ with all their heart. They're not worried about being a movie star. They're not worried about having some occupation that's going to take them away from the Word. No. When you find out you was here, friends, and when God gets done with you, it's all pleasing to him. Yeah. Then there's no problem. Oh, I don't mean you might get trapped in something. But if you do, it'll make you so sick you can't stand it. And you sit there and think, how in the world would I ever get trapped in that nonsense? Oh, my. Dear Lord. And identification, February 16, 1964. He says here, take your token, you're redeemed, the blessing, the Holy Spirit. And if Satan tries to push something on you, now it sounds like I'm getting away from this, but give me time, I'll get back to it. Probably not this morning, but I'll get back to it. He says, you are identified in his death when you die. You're identified in his resurrection. And it identifies you that you were with him before the foundation of the world because you are redeemed. Oh my. That's brought back. It's brought back. Remember we talked about the little thing being lost, you know? If I were walking in the woods and I lose my pocket knife, you know? Well, it's still my pocket knife, even though it's still out in the woods somewhere. And it may have some leaves blowed over it. But being the right kind of person that God is, he might have to take a metal detector. He knows where you are anyway. But he might use his servants, a metal detector, and he might go out and he'll say, get him to say the right thing just at the right time, and oh, he'll get that knife back. But you always was a knife. Yeah. You wasn't born on this earth and become a son of God. No. You always was a son. You see? So you don't come today and I'm going to say, I'm going to become a son of God. I'm going to be a Christian from now on. No, you're just going to recognize your position and let Christ do work in your life and change that desire around. Give you a brand new nature operating, you see. Oh, my. He says, notice, sinless, to take place of the sinful. The antidote, he was without sin, so that he might redeem sinners. Talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. God was expressed in him, Jesus Christ, and properly identified himself in him. Can't we read the scripture and see that? Absolutely, we can see that God was identified in Jesus Christ. Right. in that flesh, you see. All right, he says here, and it was, he says, in the beginning, St. John 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and now a word has to be a thought before it's a word. It has to be a thought before it's a word. He says, now a word has to be a thought before it's a word, because the word is a thought expressed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, was God, he repeats. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Identified. How? Now, Hebrews 4. The Word of God is sharper, more powerful than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder, cutting both coming and going. Cut asunder. And a discerner of the thoughts, we just talked about. Discerner of the thoughts. And intents of the heart. And whether you realize it or not, as I'm speaking His Word, it's discerning your thoughts. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah, it is. And how many times you go out the door and you think, how do you know about this? How do you know about that? I didn't, but He did. You see? And when He did that, that's how the prophets was identified. Because, now listen, God would speak and tell them just what was wrong and what was going on. That's how we know the prophet in this age was identified. We remember Him. See, that is the identification of the Word of the hour being made manifest. He was the fullness of God's Word, for He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was God in human form. And it took God to express such a character as this. And then that lovely life that had to be taken from Him so that He could save these that God's foreknowledge saw. Does it sound confusing? Just go on. Don't let it be. Which was His thoughts of you and me just came to do that. His perfect life had to be sacrificed to redeem that person. Then if they do, and you were with God in His thoughts at the beginning, how can you deny His Word being true when you're a part of His Word? Now you see why people can't accept everything God says? Because they was never a part of Him. Yeah. If you was a part of Him, you'd be able to accept all His Word. Yeah. Every bit of it. Down to the simplest thing is, as I've talked about so many times, these women in their blue jean skirts with pockets and zippers on them and all that bunch of nonsense that pertains to man's apparel. They'd even see that. But when they didn't come from here, there's a lot of things that ain't important. It's whatever their preacher over here says. Instead of this holy Bible that has no error, that is infallible, that is so perfect, they'll take some stinking puny man's words for it. You know, maybe I better not say nothing there. I will say this. You know, Brother Pitts has been giving me some messages of Brother Lee Vail. And I thought I was the only pebble on the beach that couldn't stand these big mouth preachers that didn't know nothing. But he was another one. Yeah. He couldn't stand those false anointed ones. Yeah. Not the person, but that devil using them. He didn't want to be bothered with them. Strange, I found myself, I'd been that way for a long time. I don't want to be bothered with them. They're nonsense and trash and filth that comes from their mouth, from the pits of hell. No. You may want to suck up to it, love it, enjoy it, but not a seed of God. No way. How could I love something that comes contrary to what God said when I came from the same source that God come from? Who did our Lord Jesus Christ really blast? The religious ones, not the sinner. He got the sinner. But those religious Pharisees, he blasted them and he called them snakes in the grass. Yeah. Because he knew who they was. And you'll know every tree but the fruit it brings, bears. Yeah. Wish old Brother Vell was still around. Because what I've heard him say so far, I'd like to have some fellowship with him. He was a no-nonsense guy. Yeah. He wasn't concerned about having all these preachers come around him. No. And I'm not either. And it didn't take me listening to him what he said to be that way. But I was glad something else come along, someone else come along that I could see that maybe I'm not crazy. You know? That maybe I'm lining up with the thoughts of God. Amen. You know? I'm telling you, there's few and far between. Honestly. He says, he was the fullness of God's word, see? For he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I guess maybe we read that. Let's go on down here. Then if they do, then you were with God in his thoughts at the beginning. How can you deny his word being true when you are a part of his word? Certainly, a vindicated properly. There could be no mistake about it. He said, it is not me that doeth the works, it is my Father in me that doeth me. Now watch how many times he's given scripture. So he's just talking something just randomly. He's bringing scripture. Just tying it together for us. Now we find out that in the great turmoil of today, the people about understanding God, God in three persons. God, see, it's three attributes of God, like three offices. God above us, God in the Holy Spirit, in there, in the pillar of fire. God made flesh, dwelt among us, a man that we could touch, handle. Now God in church, God above you, God with you, God in you. See the same God in three different manifestations, but the same God all the time. And it still blows my mind people can be baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It just blows my mind. That's what the Lord Jesus said to do. But Peter, with a revelation, understood it was the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all by revelation, friends. Then they wonder why the promise don't come. They receive the Lord, they get baptized the wrong way. But if you get baptized the right way, God's obligated to do it. If you meet his obligations, do everything he said to do. And he has called you. That's the thing. And they think, if they'd only think of things as simplicity, I mean, my name is Stephen, but I'm a father. I'm a son. Yeah. Instead of a Holy Ghost, I'll say uncle. Yeah. But I'm the same person, am I not? Absolutely I am. You see? People can't understand it today. Let's go on. He says, notice, to be no mistake, his sinless nature. We'll close on this one. But keep this in mind because I'm not really got to that really yet. Notice, to be no mistake, his sinless nature expresses God's word. And the only way that you, now he's going to talk to us. He's talking scripturally now. Any way you will ever be able to express God's word, that you believe it and watch it act behind you, and you will have to have that sinless nature that come from God. That's the only way. Sinless nature. Sinless nature. See why all this other riffraff of people claiming they're Christians and they're not? You're going to see something. What's happening today? Yeah. Did they come from God? No, they didn't. But brother, they're such nice people. There's going to be a lot of nice people burning in hell. There's going to be a lot of nice people that's maybe give you things. Maybe give you a home to live in when you had no home. Maybe give you an automobile to drive when you had no automobile. Maybe put food on your table when you had none. Does that mean they're saved? By no means. But it's he that can hear and understand of my words. Yes. And can believe. And there's no way you can understand it, friends, without that Christ being in you. Even the things I speak today will be so jumbled up and so fumbled up to you that you just can't figure it out. It'll no more quicken anything on the inside to serve God than anything. But if you're hearing something that's saying, that's me, that's me, that's me. I don't fully understand this yet, but I know that's me. I'm not really maybe being able to grasp anything, but there's something about this. There's truth about this.
Amen.
Oh, my. But if you come His provided way, friends, He'll make sure you get it. Repent. Godly repentance. Sorrow. Godly sorrow. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this promise is unto you and to them afar off, and as many as the Lord thy God shall call. Yes. It's yours. Yeah. And that's why I never have advised little small children being baptized. Do they really understand what's going on? I don't agree with it. That's me. That's my personal opinion. People do what they want to do. That's my personal opinion. I believe they ought to be the age of accountability, where they're beginning to really realize that something is dealing with their heart.
Right.
Not just get baptized because mommy and daddy said, I want you to get baptized. No. We're trying to be like the Catholics, Protestants and stuff, and then start sprinkling them on the head. Oh, now they're saved. Bunch of nonsense. It's when God can begin to call in your heart. As many as the Lord thy God shall call. And true, godly sorrow, repentance. And he shall. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh my. Now things begin to really turn and begin to change. Yes. Oh my. So as a parent, I never did push my children to be baptized. Wait on the Holy Spirit to start dealing with the heart.
Amen.
You see? I know I'm an oddball oftentimes. But friends, I can't help the things I understand. I want to live by what God has given me understanding of.
Amen.
You see? For the truth shall set you free. I'll close for this morning. I feel kind of bad because I didn't even get close where I wanted to go. But there's always tonight, maybe, if the Lord will and He tarries, and if I shall live, there's maybe tonight. And if He lets you live tonight, it may be tonight for you. Maybe you won't live tonight. I don't know. Life is so fragile. When that ordeal with my neighbor, what they did, murder, suicide, I think, you know, life is so fragile. One gunshot. And destroy a life. You know? Look what else can destroy our life. Totally destroyed. An accident. Yeah. I was thinking of Brother Paul there, you know, he fell off a roof there a week or so ago. If it wasn't the hand of God watching over him, he could have broke his neck pretty easy. Yeah. It's God's grace. But would we do that silly thing again? You should learn from your mistakes. You see? The same as all of us should.
Amen.
Oftentimes God has spared us through our foolishness.
Amen.
But we should learn from our mistakes. Yes. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. No. Don't tempt Him. The Word of God is true in all things. It is inspired. It's real. I feel His Holy Spirit. Glory. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, sometimes, Lord, Your Holy Spirit is so sweet and yet so great and so powerful, it seems this flesh can hardly stand it. But Lord, we thank You for that. We thank You for Your love and Your caring and all that You do for us. We thank You so much for Your protection and guidance. And And the understanding that you give us, Lord, is worth more than all the silver and the gold on this earth, Lord. To understand you, to know your ways. For this is life eternal, to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. What a blessing it is, Lord, to know you in the power of your resurrection. We thank you again, Lord, today for your word, and hoping today somehow it wasn't too chopped up for, Lord, what the end we want to bring to it. But, Lord, what I was able or not able to do and lacked by not being educated enough maybe and not smart enough, may you, by the Holy Spirit, place these things in the right place in each one's heart, that, Lord, they shall understand. And the truth shall set them free. We thank you again now. May you bless us as we leave this little place, and again asking you to mercifully watch over us, Lord, and keep us safe and bring us back the next appointed time. And Lord, be with those that have to drive so far. And we understand that situation, Lord, that they couldn't be here every time. Lord, we trust that every desire is right, and Lord, we know what they want. But Lord, one day we won't have to part from each other. But Lord, we shall rise in the glory and the splendor of Jesus Christ and spend eternity together. What a wonderful day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon your face, the one that saved me by your grace, Lord. Thank you for everything now. In your glorious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. May God bless you. You're dismissed.